Up being Baptist, amen. We learned all about John the last couple weeks, and how exciting was that to learn about John the Baptist and the miracle birth that he had, and the fact that he was filled with the Holy Ghost from the womb. And there's a lot of interesting stuff there too, and we won't take time to go into that right at this time, because we're going to finish up being a Baptist. Maybe we'll look into that later on. But amen. I agree. All right, we're going to look at Brother Tim Sievert. When I was in Illinois, he said that he got this from Maslin. So if he got this from Maslin, hopefully it's pretty good. We got a couple Maslin people here. We're jury's still out on them, but this is the word Baptist. And it kind of tells you a little bit about the distinctives of being a Baptist. Now understand, we got the title from John. I believe that with all my heart, that the Lord gave John his name, gave John his occupation, and the Lord let John stay on this earth as long as until he had his job done. When his job was finally done, the Lord said, it's time for you to go. As bad as that is, the Lord could have stopped that. He could have stopped John being beheaded. He could have stopped all that. But John had done exactly what God had put in store for him to do. He had started authority of baptism. The Lord laid his hand on him and said, you are the one that has the authority to do this. And he was the only one that had authority at that time until you were baptized of him, until the hands were laid on him and the church gave permission for people to do baptism. So Philip was an example of somebody that had permission to baptize from the local church. So we're going to go down. What are some of the distinctives of being a Baptist? And we can do very many of them by using the actual word Baptist. Okay, we can actually do many of these talking about just the single word. So let's start out with a word of prayer, and we will go ahead and get started this morning. Brother Rod, would you lead us in prayer while I take this mic off and throw it in the baptistry? Amen, amen, amen. Just like Brother Rod echoed this morning, I'm going to tell you, I am proud to be a Baptist. I hope you feel the same way, because we have a heritage that is unlike any other. And matter of fact, there's not even anybody close. We were the ones that have been persecuted. We are the ones that have been slain. We are the ones that have stood for a name and stood for a Savior and stood for a book all throughout the ages. We're the ones that stand every time. Very, very few other religions can even boast of standing one time. We're the ones that stand every time, okay? So I'm going to go down through a few of these. I imagine you can guess what B is going to be. The B part of a Baptist is you are a born-again, blood-washed, Bible believer. Can't read that? That's all right. Born again, blood washed, Bible believer. There's three B's there. You couldn't get them all in one B. But being born again, first of all, is a distinctive of the Baptist church. Yes. Many churches, there's a few out there that kind of claim to have salvation and claim that, but they add something to it. The Baptists teach you that you are born again through Christ. That's it. For by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, but a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We can't boast as Baptists. It's Christ that does it all. I'm thankful to be a Baptist. I'm glad to be a Baptist. I'm proud to be a Baptist. But being a Baptist isn't what gets you to heaven. Being born again is what gets you to heaven. So you got to understand, being born again is very important. Being blood washed is very important. Christ shed his blood for you. Without shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. What you've got to understand is being blood washed is a very important part of being born again. Christ entered in the Holy of Holies one time, offered his blood, and it covered and took away every sin that had ever been committed, all the way from the past, all the way to the future, and even with the sins that we're committing right now. It's all been removed. So we're born again, we're blood washed, and we're Bible believers. That is, these three things are distinctives of being Baptist. One or two churches may hold on to one or two of these first three even, but we hold on to all three of these very dearly. If it's not in the book, it's baloney. Remember that. If it's not in the book, it's baloney. Don't show me something that's not in the scripture and say it's scripture. Don't talk to me about purgatory and tell me it's scripture. It's not scripture. You'll never find that word in here. Don't tell me about that. Obviously, we have Catholic ties in here somewhere. Well, you're going to get really excited because next week we're going to go into the distinctives of Catholics. So we've got born again, blood washed, and we're Bible believers. Amen? We're all three of those things. The next thing, A, is autonomous. Don't worry. We are autonomous. We are set apart. We are, every church is indigenous. There's no church that's over top of this church. Now that's important.
Yes.
Why would that be important? Because if you let another church be over top of this church, the human element takes over this church. There is no human element here. Yes, we have a preacher that's in charge, but understand this. He has been placed here. He's a step authority under Jesus Christ himself. He's been placed here. We called him to come be our preacher. God called him to come here. The marriage of those two callings coming here, he's our pastor. And we are excited about him being our pastor. That's how we get preachers. We don't rely on some committee that's out somewhere that doesn't know us, doesn't care about us, to bring us a man of God. That's not how it works in the Baptist church. And that's not how it worked in the churches back in those days when the Lord started them. I want to have you turn to a couple scriptures. We have a very important person that's the head of our church. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. This is distinctive of the Baptist church. This is a Baptist distinctive that we are an autonomous church. Ephesians chapter 4. That we henceforth, verse 14, be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Speaking of the church, Christ is the head of our church. Look at 5:23 in that same book. 5:23. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. We have a person that is in charge. And here's where churches all across America mess up. They put a man in charge. We put Christ in charge. How is that possible that Christ can be in charge and he's not here with us today? Well, first of all, I hope he's with you today. If you're a saved person, he's with you. But understand this. We've got the roadmap right here. He's given us the Word of God. Thank God we believe in that Bible because it gives us a roadmap for a church. And that church is autonomous. Nobody else runs this church. Now, it works well for a lot of the worldly churches because they can get funds from the mother church. They can get funds from the big church out there. But understand this. We get our funds from Christ. He takes care of this church. Now, these churches may not have million-trillion-dollar buildings out there that we can say that this is our tabernacle. But understand this. In this place, we glorify God, not man. We don't build temples to man here. We build temples to Christ here. Everything that we do is for him and through him and in him. And this autonomous thing that we talk about, look at Colossians 1:18 quickly. Colossians 1:18. We're going to read just a little bit more of that. giving thanks unto the Father, which hath, this is verse 12, hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, glory to God, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, glory to God, in whom we have redemption through his blood, glory to God, even the forgiveness of sins, glory to God, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created, glory to God, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Glory to God. Amen. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have what? The preeminence. We should be holding him up in everything. Don't worry about being linked to another church somewhere else. We don't need to be linked to another church somewhere else. Our head is in Christ, and he is able to take care of us all through all things. By him all things consist. We see that in the scriptures, and we should be giving him the preeminence in everything. Amen. How can we have somebody that's a go-between the church and Christ? We can't have a go-between. We've got to be autonomous. We've got to be indigenous. We've got to be set apart. Amen. Do you know who it gives comfort to have another church over top of them? Man. Right. It gives them great comfort to know the mother church out there will take care of their salaries. Right. It gives them great comfort to know that the preacher doesn't have to answer to the people. He can just get moved around every 2 or 3 years. This preacher stays here 15 years, 18 years, 20 years, throughout all the heartaches, throughout all the trials, throughout all the tests, he still stays. And that's what an indigenous church, an autonomous church does for you. We're not run by man here. Right. We're run by Christ, who is the head of the church. You must be very particular about that, though. Because there are several men in the past that have failed, and you've got to watch your pastor. Now, I love my preacher. And I'm thankful that my preacher wouldn't, I don't believe he would ever go out of bounds out of Scripture. I don't believe he ever would. But that's the job of a people, to watch to make sure we're staying scriptural. Oh, people, oh, you should never question. No, you should always question. You should always be looking in the Scripture. You should always be seeking to make sure that everything stays in line with the book. If we get outside of the book, we should be outside of the doors. Autonomous. The next thing, the P, the priesthood of the believer. The priesthood of the believer. I am so thankful that I don't have to work hard to be a saint. I'm so thankful that I don't have to work hard to be a priest. Christ says, salvation equals priesthood. Now let's look at this real quickly. Turn to Revelation chapter 1, verse 6. We're going to have to move along here, I think. Revelation chapter 1, verse 6. From Jesus Christ, verse 5, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood and hath made us. Now understand, did we deserve this?
No.
Did we earn it?
No.
Is it something that we did cartwheels to get?
No.
Is it something we lit candles, twirled beads around? Did we say anything to get this?
No.
He made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. We have been made kings and priests. Now we can try to get around that all we want. But Christ has something so much better for us. He has something so much better than this old world can contain. When you walk around being a saved person, you should walk around with your head held very high. When you walk around as a saved person, you should walk around with your smile very wide. When you walk around as a saved person, you should have a great confidence knowing that it's not you that has earned the salvation. It's not you that's worked for the salvation. It's not you that's done anything to deserve the salvation. No, Christ has given it to you because you believed in him.
Amen.
Well, I'm having a bad day, brother. Glory to God. Christ loves you anyhow, and you're still a king and a priest, and you can't ever let loose of that. We have a priesthood
of the believer. We have two offices.
The T. Two offices. Those two offices are the pastor and the deacons. By the way, so far, all of this is a Baptist distinctive.
These are distinct to the Baptist.
Now, you may have a church that believes in this and this, but you don't have a church that believes in this, this, and this. This is distinctive to Baptist. All these things line up right with the Bible. See, that's where we get everything from, is the Bible. People sometimes let loose of that, but understand, everything we get comes from here.
It's not something we've made up. It's right in here. That's why it works out so good.
Two offices, pastors and deacons. There are no other offices.
You would love to have big committees that run the pastor. That's not scriptural. You'd love to have huge deacon boards that run the preacher. That's not biblical either.
Right.
You would love to have committees and trustees and all these other things that when they vote, glory to God, that the pastor has to listen.
That's not scriptural.
Right.
The Lord has a man. He puts that man in charge of one of his local autonomous born-again, blood-washed, Bible-believing churches. He runs the show. The deacons are there to help. The deacons aren't there to run. The deacons are there to give sound advice. The great thing about our pastor is he values the opinions of his deacons. He asks them what they think he should do. He gets great safety in a multitude of counselors. He does that. He goes to his men and asks them. But understand this. It rises and falls in the hands of our man of God. That is the two offices, is the pastor and the deacons. You've been given a great preacher. We're excited about having a great preacher. We've been given fantastic deacons. We're excited about having the deacons that are great. If you turn to Philippians chapter 1, verse 1, please. We'll show you these in the scripture. Philippians chapter 1, verse 1. The Bible says, Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi with the bishops and deacons. Bishops is the fancy word for preachers or pastors. If you look over at 1 Timothy chapter 3, where I know we're turning quickly, but you'll be all right. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 8. We talk about in verse 2, a bishop, that's the preacher, then must be blameless. The husband of one wife. Mr. Ruckman, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior. Boy, you shouldn't have said that, Brother Dave. Oh, Brother Dave, you shouldn't have said that. Scripture, brother. Argue with the fellow that wrote the book. Must be the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine, no striker, not greedy of filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous, one that ruled it well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. I'm in subjection because he beats me up a lot. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? So you've got your man that's in charge here, your pastor. Not a novice being lifted up, lest being lifted up with pride he fall into the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. Likewise must the deacons be grave, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy of filthy lucre, holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. And let those also first be proved, then let them use the office of a deacon, being found blameless. That gives you the two offices. You've got your preacher and you've got your deacons. That's how your church gets run. The one does not usurp the other. The preacher's in charge. That is distinctive of Baptist. Very distinctive of Baptist. Most churches, the preacher doesn't run anything. Most churches, he's run. You're fortunate to be in a scriptural church. Why do things go forward? Because we've got a pastor that we hold up.
Right.
There's always a man in charge. If you go throughout all the scriptures, there's always somebody in charge. I am amazed how this country loves to have nobody in charge. That way nobody gets blamed when things go bad. Understand this. We've got a pastor. He's in charge.
We've got deacons who help the man in charge.
Yes.
They do not fight with each other.
Nope.
There's no usurping of authority. Hey, I'm a Baptist preacher too. I'm an associate pastor. You want to see a church go down? Let us get into arguments. Seriously, that's what happens. Associate pastors tear more churches up than you can even imagine.
Right.
I love my pastor. I know he's my dad, but he's my preacher. And I hold him up. He's my pastor.
Amen.
You've got to understand what the Lord has done for us. He's made us born again, blood washed. Bible believing, we are autonomous. We aren't part of any big group. The priesthood of the believers, we're all kings and priests. Then there's two offices, pastors and deacons. He set this up specifically so we could make it in this day and age. I like this next one. This is something very distinctive of being Baptist, is individual soul liberty.
Amen.
Individual soul liberty. Now there's two parts to this. Two things. In John 3:16, we know what that says. We know that it says I can't even bring it up. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son my mind's moving a million miles an hour. You know what John 3:16 says. I'm moving on from that one. But if you look, the thing that we're talking about here is everybody, whosoever will may come. That's the first part of individual soul liberty. You don't have to be anybody special to accept Christ. You don't have to be anybody special. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We all start on the same playing field. That's what you've got to understand, the first part about individual soul liberty. But the second part of individual soul liberty, turn to Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7. My favorite person in all the scriptures is Paul. The more I get to know him, the more I like him. Romans chapter 7. Starting in verse 15. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am! Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. We have got to understand that we have individual soul liberty. There's nothing we can do that's going to take us apart from God. Now understand this. Now I'm talking about the salvation of God. There's things you can do to draw yourself away from God. But you're not going to draw him away from you.
Amen.
This individual soul liberty is distinctive to the Baptist church in that we know we're sinners. And we're still saved.
Right.
We know we're not going to get everything right. Yet we're still going to go to heaven.
Yeah.
We know that we're going to fall apart at the seams, yet Christ is still going to put us back together. Now, the vast majority of the churches and religions out there will teach you if you sin, you lose that thing called salvation. If you sin, you do not have liberty anymore. Once you get saved, you do not have liberty anymore to sin. Understand this. We better have to have liberty to sin because we're gonna. We better have that liberty. It better be something that Christ is able to overcome. He better be able to overcome our sin. Because if we can't overcome our sin after salvation, we're all going to go to hell forever.
Yes.
But if he can overcome the sin, which he can, and he does, we have individual soul liberty. Now understand this. That doesn't give us the right to go out and sin.
Right.
When you're a saint and you're a child of God, you should desire to not sin.
the war that Paul is fighting is the war realizing he's a sinner yet not wanting to sin. This war that was in his members was, man, I know I'm doing wrong, but I can't seem to stop. That war is the war that fires in us every single day of our lives, realizing that we're, oh, wretched man that I am.
Yes.
And what's funny is I hear these people all the time saying, well, the closer I get to God, the better I feel about myself. I would to God I could get inside that body, because every time I get close to God, I realize, oh, wretched man that I am. Yeah, that gives me great hope. Because, oh, wretched man that I am, Christ looks down and said, yes, but I washed you in my blood. Yes, and I saved you. And yes, I've covered that sin, and I'm so thankful I'm in a church that is distinctive of that I am a sinner, yet Christ still loves me. I am a sinner, yet it's not my job to hold on to my salvation. It's all his job. Glory to God, I'm glad to be in a church that teaches that as a distinctive.
Amen.
Individual soul liberty. The next one goes right along with it. Security of the believer.
Yeah, boy.
Security of the believer. I am so thankful that I'm not holding on to him, but it's him holding on to me. Turn to John chapter 10, please. Verse 25. Jesus answered them, I told you and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you believe not because you are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life. It's a gift. It's a free gift. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them, by the way, any man, no man should pluck them out of my hand. Do you know who that includes, brother? That includes you. You can't pluck yourself out of God's hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Glory to God. You've got a hand of Christ that's got you in it. And you've got the hand of the Father wrapped around that baby. There's no way anybody's going to pluck you out of those hands. It doesn't matter what you do or what people say you've done. It doesn't matter if you fall apart at the seams. That's all right. You've got eternal security. I'm so thankful I'm in the Baptist church, because I don't know if I could live without eternal security. I've had argument after argument in my office of people saying, how can you be eternally secure? I said, how in the world can you not? How can you go through life worried day after day after day that you've done enough to get you out of heaven? How can you worry from day to day to day that you haven't done enough to keep you in heaven? How can you live that way? How can you serve an almighty God that waits for your every work? Well, Brother Dave didn't do so good today. He's out of heaven. He better get re-saved and re-baptized and re-in here. You better hold on to something, folks. You can't lose your salvation. God's not that weak. Turn to one more scripture, Ephesians chapter 4. Amen. I like what this is talking about. It talks about taking off the old man and putting on the new man. If you look at verse 22, that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness, wherefore putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth.
Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Talking about sinning here. Please don't sin. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed. Unto the day of redemption. You're sealed. You're sealed. You can't break the seal. You've got eternal security. Glory to God. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. He's forgiven us. We're sealed until the day of redemption. I am so thankful I'm a Baptist. Eternal security of the believers. And then we have two ordinances, and only two ordinances. Only two ordinances. Do we know what the two ordinances are? You're a pretty smart group here. The baptism and the Lord's Supper. And by the way, you can't be a member of the church until you have baptism. And you can't have the Lord's Supper until you're a member of the church. This is a closed communion facility here, and I'm thankful that we are. That's what the Scripture teaches us to be. In baptism, you see the Lord established this in Acts chapter 2, verse 41. We went over this before, but he establishes baptism. Those that were saved were baptized. You must be saved and then baptized. Don't come to me as an infant and say, I need to be baptized. That's one of the things that is very, very particular to the Baptist church. Now, yes, there's a lot of churches out there that do the immersion, baptism by immersion. But they always add that to something else for salvation. You don't get baptized to go to heaven. That's why baptism is a minor. Understand that. Baptism is a minor. It's not a major. A major is something that can keep you out of heaven. Baptism will not keep you out of heaven. Thank God, because the thief on the cross said, Lord, remember me. And the Lord said, this day thou shalt be with me. He didn't take a stop in the lake on the way through. He said, you're going to be with me in paradise today. What a trip that must have been. But the church is supposed to have two ordinances. To become a member of the church, you must be baptized, saved, and then baptized. And then after you're a member of the church, you can take the Lord's Supper. This do as oft as you do in remembrance of me. See, we do these things not because they save us, but we do them to remember things and symbolize things. Baptism is a symbolization of Jesus Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. And it's a public profession of faith. The Lord's Supper is something that we remember his death, burial, and resurrection. We remember him going to the cross for us and shedding that blood. Remember his body being broken for us. That is a time when you sit there and reflect on what he did for you, and you are still saved. That's an ordinance that is given of the church. And the last one, the separation from church and state. The separation from church and state. Now, a lot of churches hold on to this big time. Separation, church, and state. Thomas Jefferson wrote a really long time ago, and I'm all done. Thomas Jefferson wrote a really long time ago, and in this letter said, the separation of church and state, the wall that is between those two things is the First Amendment, where it says that government cannot interfere with religion. Amen. But understand this, folks. This country was founded on God. Amen. It was drawn, the people were drawn here because the state had enforced a religion on the people that the people were not able to believe in the way that they wanted to believe. They came over to America not to flee taxes. Not to flee taxes. They came over because they wanted to worship Christ. Amen. So when they got here, they put the First Amendment in saying, state, you can't tell us how to worship. But glory to God, the state ought to look to the religious leaders of this day, like our preacher, and say, how should we run this country?
Yes.
He should look to the Scripture on the what this nation was founded on. Should look to God and say, should we have abortion or should we not? That's very simple stuff. What we've done in this nation today is thrown the Scriptures away. I am proud. I am proud to be a Baptist.
Amen.
Now understand, there's more to it than this, but no other church lines up with all of them. And you've got to get a hold of something, folks. We are in a church that preaches truth because we hold on to the Bible. And if you hold on to that Bible and realize who you are and who He is, you're going to be a Baptist. That's what the Scripture is going to steer you to. Don't study the Scripture, you could end up anywhere. You study the Scripture, you'll end up in a Baptist church. And folks, I'm proud. I'm proud to be a Baptist. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you so much for being a Baptist. Lord, you walked 63 miles to be baptized of the authority that you put in authority. And he was a Baptist. I'm so thankful, Lord, that you were a Baptist. I'm not ashamed of that. I'm not a big B Baptist. I'm a big B-A-P-T-I-S-T-S Baptist. Lord, I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful to be in a church that preaches truth. I'm so thankful I was brought up in a church that preaches truth. Because, Lord, honestly, wherever you go, that's what you're going to believe is truth. And, Lord, I'm glad you directed me here. Lord, help us to search the scriptures. Help us to find those things in the scriptures, Lord, that we hold on to and cling to. The things that make up our faith. And then when we know what makes up our faith, let us earnestly contend for that. Lord, help us today. Help us to look towards you. Let us have a great church service. Anoint my pastor. And anoint Brother Mark tonight as he does the church cantata. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.